All right, welcome back in. Final hour is Childress has left the studio to go get our buddy Foster downstairs. And you can get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. Matt Hogan's on the board. And Matt, I got to ask you a question. You know, last year it was, what, the Jacksonville Jaguars making it to the AFC Championship game, correct?
Yes, sir.
How do you turn around now at 3-5, losing four in a row? Bortles, is he the problem because he's been benched and then he's not and this and that and the other? Or, and I'm sorry, I'm 50. I'm different. You're young, you're smart, you're good looking, all this stuff. But to me, this is, we talk about it from time to time on this show. There's this mysterious creature out there that's invisible. It's called football karma.
Yep.
This feels like a little football karma headed the Jaguars' way based off of one of the better defensive players out there in Jalen Ramsey, but he talked a bunch of trash all summer long.
Yeah, he sent out a laundry list of quarterbacks that he thought was great, and he called Josh Allen trash, and all these guys were no good. So there's absolutely no doubt there's a little bit of football karma going in there. But there's also, you know, our middle linebacker last year retired. Our nickel corner got traded or released. We're in our third left tackle. We're in our third slot corner. So we're just beat up all over the place. And obviously, Leonard Fournette, our focal point of the offense, has been out for a better part of the 7-8 weeks.
I mean, you look across this AFC right now, guys, and look at some of the winning streaks. New England, 6-game winning streak. Steelers, now a 4-game winning streak. And, of course, the Panthers face off with them tonight at Heinz Field. The Houston Texans,
yeah, six-game
winning streak. Oh, yeah, the Los Angeles Chargers, 5-game winning streak. Forget the 3-2-game winning streak. The longest streak in the NFC right now, obviously, the New Orleans Saints, followed by both the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons with 3.
Yeah, that's interesting. Man, the Texans, what a story they are. Losing their first 3, winning 6 in a row, and about 4 of those with a Deshaun Watson that could barely move around the football field. They're starting to shape up into a team that I would not want to play in the postseason. In the last 2 weeks, I feel like we're seeing the Deshaun we saw last year. We're starting to see that mobility, his ability to run the football and throw the football, and their defense is straight up legit right now. So I think the Texans are going to win that division. Do you feel the same way? I mean, it feels like the Texans are going to win that division.
Yeah, but I like Titans will have something to say.
I like the Texans a lot in that division, and I know it's hard to commit to this team that I'm about to talk about because they started even worse, but the Indianapolis Colts finally have got things together. They've had back-to-back games with 100-yard rushing, which I think is the first time since Peyton Manning, second to last year in Indianapolis, and Andrew Luck is finally back to pre-shoulder injury Andrew Luck, but I think they have too much of an uphill climb. The Titans, you don't know what you're going to get with the Titans, and then the Jaguars look like they're just a mess, so it's the Texans definitely have the upper hand right now.
All right, to me, one of the more fascinating teams in the NFL right now is what is the league itself going to do with the Los Angeles Chargers. You know, you started to see a couple of weeks ago the stories. Hey, the NFL doesn't think this is going to work out for L.A., for the Chargers. Well, no offense, you got them playing in a 27,000 seat soccer stadium, and nobody out there really cares all that much. I mean, you're either really good and they'll show up, or you're not. And did you see, like, the Coliseum was half empty for Southern Cal this past week? It'll be, if they're good, it'll be full. So, but to me, that's a fascinating franchise. Phillip Rivers in his 38th year starting quarterback out of NC State, but one of the best young wide receivers in the game. And we're not talking New Hopkins. We're talking about Mike Williams.
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen and all. But what do you do? There is a franchise that is the epitome of not disarray on the football field itself, but in some ways in disarray off the field.
It's really interesting because that's a team that nobody's really talking about.
I think they're in my top afterthought.
They're in my top five for teams. They are edge rushers, with Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. They're for real. They're cornerbacks. They're 3 or 4 deep at corner. They got that really good safety. I'm blanking on his name, but Derwin Williams. They drafted him 17th overall. That defense is legit. And Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer with weapons like we just mentioned, Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams. They got a loaded. And then Hunter Henry's on injured reserve this year, but he's a great tight end. When he gets back, that team's going to be for real for the next couple years.
Hall of Famer Phillip Rivers, you think?
He's got to get some playoff
That's where
wins.
You lost me there. Yeah, no, he does. He does.
I think he is a Hall of Famer.
He would be a borderline Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I don't think he's a first ballot or anything like that. But if you're going to put a guy – there's talk about Carson Palmer going to the Hall of Fame. If Carson Palmer goes to the Hall of Fame, then Phillip Rivers is a home run.
Yeah, longevity, and they had some big seasons back in San Diego with Coates at tight end, and all. So he's got numbers.
He absolutely has the numbers.
And by God, he's been playing there, 32 years now, it feels like. So he ought to have the career numbers as well. All right, one of the things, sports talk, Twitter, it's a hot topic society. You know what I mean? One of the things I'm sick of right now is can Duke go undefeated? Could they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers?
How are you sick of this? It's only been going on for a day.
Or can Alabama beat an NFL team?
No, yes. Okay.
The
That's
Las
been going
Vegas
on for like 3 years.
The Las Vegas Sportsbook sets the Buffalo Bills as a 28.5-point favorite in a hypothetical matchup with Alabama.
Exactly.
Stop this stuff, guys. Every player on the worst team in the NFL is still a professional.
Yes.
By the way, Buffalo has a top 10 defense in every major statistical category, so they would stop Alabama. Their offense is trash, but that Buffalo Bills defense is actually legit. I like them to beat the Jets this weekend.
Well, it's going to be interesting, but that is a lame argument. Can Alabama beat an NFL team? It's like, all these people, and we've seen national guys write articles.
Yes.
Duke's going undefeated in college basketball this year.
No, they're not.
That was an impressive performance against Kentucky, a 34-point beatdown. That was also on a neutral floor. Let's also think about Kentucky as well. They always start slow. It's not where you are. Duke's been a lot opposite, starting fast and then not finishing when it comes NCAA tournament time. But let's see how these freshmen handle a road trip to North Carolina or a road trip, as you mentioned, to NC State, or God forbid.
On like a Thursday night at 9:30.
Going to John Paul Jones Arena at Virginia, who while they can fall to a 16 seed in the first round of the NCAA tournament, Virginia can flat out play defense. You know what I mean? So this is just like everybody wanting to bury Michael Foster's Michigan Wolverines after they lost the opening game of the season to Notre Dame. And guess what? Now you look at it, and they are a legit top four team, are the Wolverines. God, that tastes like vinegar coming out of this mouth.
And
say it again.
The ACC in football, it might be debatable whether or not they're good or bad. The ACC in basketball is undeniably the best conference in football.
Everybody sucks in college football.
Apparently.
Have we not hit that? I mean, the Cowboys suck, thanks to Ryland Woods sending the letter of the year when it comes to the NFL. But, it was amazing. I was sitting there last night, they suck. Well, they suck. Well, that conference sucks. Not everybody can suck.
Somebody's good.
So, anyway.
Hey, I saw a random stat earlier today. I'll ask you guys. So, since 2012, Aaron Rodgers has played 28 road games against teams with a 500 record or better. Okay? And he's considered the best closer, probably, besides Tom Brady, in the NFL. How many of those 28 games against winning teams on the road has Aaron Rodgers come out victorious in?
7.
11.
5.
5.
He is 5-23 on the road.
You speak about a franchise that has missed a window of opportunity. It is the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers.
They've done nothing. They've added no one around them on either side of the football. They have Clay Matthews, which he's out of his prime, and you have Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
This is what we always hear. We always hear, and this has been going on now for 8 years. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers might be the best quarterback in football, but they have no one around him. How can that continue to be the narrative on this guy when he's not delivering the wins? Again, I'm not hating on him. He's an unbelievable talent, but I was getting into this with my brother-in-law earlier today when I saw this stat, because everybody talks about, hey, fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, on the road, you want Aaron Rodgers to have the football. Well, he's had it 28 times on the road against winning teams, and he's won 5 of those games. So it's a little bit misleading when you dig into it a little bit. I just found that interesting today, so I wanted to bounce that off of you guys before I got out of here.
Well, we'll see. Tonight, you can hear it right down on our sister station, Classic Rock 101.1 FM. It is the Carolina Panthers broadcast crew, our friend Mick Mixon, as well as Eugene Robinson and all the guys. And, of course, Thursday Night Football in the ACC is well. Wake Forest at NC State. But Bulldog Brock's in with us. Bulldog Brock, I hope you're having a good day. Nice performance Saturday night.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Listen, I just normally would call in and talk about my Georgia Bulldogs, but tonight I wanted to just give you a couple of takes about the NFC South.
Sure.
Okay. Number one, I think the NFC South is probably the best division in NFL this year.
Hands down.
Number two, he's clapping. Number two, I think there's going to be three playoff teams coming out of that division. And number three, I think, and I'm biased, but I think that if Matt Ryan continues to perform at that level and if the Falcons have a deep playoff run, he's the MVP possibly again. Wanted to hang up, just let you guys know that and see what you guys think.
All right. I tell you what, on that last one, being the MVP, I don't know about because right now I think the most impressive performance I've seen at the quarterback position or at least across the NFL has been Drew Brees this year.
What about Patrick Mahomes?
No.
You guys
it's
are talking
Drew Brees.
About Brees?
He has one interception all year with 19 or 20 touchdowns. He has the number one QBR in the league. He's the most accurate quarterback currently in the NFL. Everybody's talking about Mahomes, and I get it. He's great. He's exciting.
I'd say Jared Goff has been as good as Patrick Mahomes has been.
It's close with them. Okay. Patrick Mahomes is eyeballs, and he's new, and it's exciting what he's doing. But Drew Brees has been doing this for so long. He's 38 years, 39 years old. He's absolutely killing it. One interception. He just threw for 340 yards and four touchdowns against the top defense in the league, top three defense in the league last week. I 100% agree with you, Sturge, on Drew Brees.
Well, is it more impressive that he's doing it at an old age or more impressive that Patrick Mahomes is doing the same type of numbers at such a young age?
I think it's both. But okay. Here's
don't get me wrong. Mahomes is definitely a talented.
First of all, you would have to, and of course, you got to see how the season ends out. But at the halfway point, 7-1 Saints, 4-4 Falcons. I mean, that needle's got to point to Drew Brees as well. But I am with Bulldog Brock on the fact that right now I think you can make the case with three consecutive wins by the Falcons. Of course, the Panthers, you may see three teams in the NFC South in the playoffs. And I wholeheartedly agree that it's the deepest division in football because you can't turn your back on Fitzmagic and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at any point in time as well.
And Bulldog Brock is not too far off when he's talking about Matt Ryan. If you look at the numbers, he's a top five quarterback statistically this year.
And you think about what all they have done now in overcoming some injuries.
That's what I was going to say. They have so many people hurt. I just don't know if they can put it together long term. And hey, don't be sleeping on the NFC East, man. They're just all beating up each other.
I'm come on.
Cowboys are done.
No, I'm kidding.
Eli Manning and the Giants are 1-7. The Cowboys
we're top
are
heavy
three,
with the Redskins. That's what it is. It's like Alabama and the SEC.
With
it's
a 7-year-old Rylan Wood writing a letter to Jerry Jones that says, quote, "You have made my mom very mad because we suck."
That is the truth.
That is the phrase of the day. But tell you what, they announced their finalists for the Blanchard Rogers Trophy. That is the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. We will talk here in studio with our buddy Michael Foster when we get back. We'll let you know who these players are and what you can do to vote and when the event is and all that good stuff coming up. And then after that, it'll be open phones, 844-GSP-ESPN. All right, welcome back in as we are coming down the stretch on this Thursday. Again, Pittsburgh Steelers and the Carolina Panthers. You can hear that right down the dial on Classic Rock 101.1 FM. But it is that time of the year as we're coming down the stretch in the college football season where you got to have a player of the year from the state of South Carolina. And we've got Michael Foster from the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. You can follow them on Twitter at SCFootballHOF. And Michael, you had a list of about 200 players that you started the season with, and you have now whittled it down to 20 for the Blanchard Rogers Trophy. And of course, that award presented by Hell's Jewelers. But, you know, the thing is, you either play football here in the state of South Carolina or you played here in high school and went elsewhere, like a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at Stanford.
Yeah, absolutely. It's allowed us to have a pretty wide group to choose from, and we have a lot of talent here in South Carolina, and they're not just here playing in South Carolina. They're playing all over the country, and I think that this list is a good example of that. You mentioned J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford. We got Anthony Johnson that's playing in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffalo's having a fantastic year.
Should be considered for the top 25 at some point.
Absolutely. I would think so. And then, of course,
except it's not in the college football playoff.
That's pool. Right. That's right. Of course, we have representatives from the top two schools in the country right now in the CFP. And so you can't argue about that. Christian Miller from Alabama is on this list, from Columbia. And then, of course, you have the in-state kids, and you have the kids that are going to Clemson in South Carolina that may have come from somewhere else but came in and is now playing in South Carolina.
Well, you mentioned Gamecocks on this list of 20 include Jake Bentley, the quarterback. Let's see, Javon Kinlaw, the defensive tackle, and, of course, Debo Samuel at wide receiver. And then the Clemson contingent on this list, Travis Etienne, who – you know, stays on the outer periphery of Heisman contention yep. right now, not to mention Cleveland Farrell, who by all accounts that I have seen now, Michael, he is likely the first draft pick off this Clemson team
yep.
This upcoming year. And then, of course, you got Christian Wilkins down there as well. So a lot of talent. And then not only that, names that I didn't recognize, schools that I didn't recognize that we have had Palmetto State players go to, like a Raheem Bingham, at Arkansas State, a yeah. defensive end out yep. of Bennettsville, South Carolina,
that's
a
right.
senior football
and
player.
And he leads the Sun Belt in tackles for loss this year with 13.5. He's actually tied with another Sun Belter in Jeffrey Gunter, who plays at Coastal Carolina, who's also on this list. But he also, Ronheen, leads the Sun Belt in sacks as well. So you have a lot of talent throughout. We have some Sun Belt talent that from South Carolina that you'll see on this list.
Shy Wirtz being
yep,
one of them.
Shy Wirtz. And then I think there's probably another.
Troy,
another
Sedarius.
Well. Yep, Sedarius Rookard.
Yep.
Safety there, punt returner as well. He had a nice punt return against Nebraska. Earlier this year, and some people will recognize a couple plays that he made in last year's game against LSU, in which Troy won that game. So you got some serious talent, even on the D2 level, with Jamarcus Henderson from Newberry has 17 tackles for loss, 9.5 sacks on the season, 16 QB hurries. He's a D2 All-American, and then you have a Joshua Simmons from Limestone. They didn't win a game this year, but this is a kid who's probably on his way to be a three-time All-American at the D2 level and has broken pretty much every record that Limestone has defensively. And I talked with their SID today, and 20 NFL teams have come throughout the season to watch him play. So he's someone that you shouldn't miss, and he's leading his conference with 93 tackles on the season as well as a DB. So he's doing a great job. So you have a wide variety of guys on this list. Plus, I think that you're going to see some of these guys in the NFL draft here coming up in April. And I think you're going to see a pretty South Carolina heavy draft this year, mm-hmm. maybe something similar to what we saw in 2013 with Jadeveon Clowney and those guys.
Well, just go ahead and shut it down right now. Linebacker Christian Miller from Alabama. That's who we're going to win. Not because he's at Alabama. We want to give his dad a hard time. It took Christian leaving the state of Alabama to go be South Carolina Blanchard Rogers trophy finalist. Corey would, there'd be some good digs on Corey for that one.
Absolutely. And Christian, if anyone watched that LSU game, was playing with his house
of
fire. And though the stats may not bear it out, he was really kind of dominant yeah. in that game, and I love his fire. I love how he chases the ball. There were guys that he was going around the whole offensive line behind and chasing down guys to make tackles or getting in on tackles, and you just got to love that, seeing that from an Alabama linebacker.
I don't love it.
He's an LSU fan.
I gotcha. Well,
but I love it anytime it's not my team, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. But so, yeah, he's had a great year as well, and I don't think he should be missed. What's kind of ironic here is you have his dad is on our Class of 2019 nominee list, and now he's on the finalist list. So we got some Millers in the family here.
We may have to get that induction, Sarah, or that event sponsored by Miller High Life.
You know what
I mean? But
Miller
again,
all the time.
We are talking with Michael Foster from the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. They are celebrating their 7th anniversary this year. You can go online, find out everything you need to know how to become a member at scfootballhof.org, or follow them on Twitter, SCFootballHOF. And here's the thing. It's not just about naming a Blanchard Rogers trophy. I mean, one of the things y'all do really well is, you know, we're doing the Bacon and Bourbon Fest next week to honor or to help out our friends at Upstate Warrior Solutions.
Sure.
And what they do is they work with, servicemen in families as they transition back into normal life. Y'all do a lot of that in a different way for these football players when it comes to like a Business Connect program in helping them transition from the gridiron into everyday life as well. It's not just about awards or anything else. There's a lot of things that you are personally involved with.
Absolutely. This is really just to get us in the door, get people to be interested in what we're doing. But really, it is about helping these student-athletes make a transition, being successful back in their community. And right now, it's not just the college kids that we're talking to. It's also the middle and high school kids now that we're talking to. We're doing a pilot program here in Greenville County called the Bridge Builder Program, and we're going to be talking to them about some workforce development things. We're going to be talking to them about social media consciousness. We're going to be talking about how they can get NCAA scholarships, be eligible for NCAA scholarships if they want to play at the next level, or just knowing core curriculum, SAT, ACT testing, what the times that they need to do that, and what applications they need to fill out to do the things that they want to do. Really, we want to be able to help student athletes from the moment that they decide they're going to be an athlete all the way to when they retire from the field and get into business on their own. And we want them to be successful. We want them to be positive role models here in our community and using that platform that football provides to be a good person, really. Be a good man.
Yeah, and Robert Smith, speaks
Absolutely.
So highly of it. And it's not just, are we going to be anywhere Saturday night at the Dave and Buster's? Because you guys have had the bus going around the state of South Carolina with watch parties with Dave and Buster's this year. And, a lot of fun going on whenever you get a George Rogers or somebody like that to come show up and watch some football and
Absolutely.
Hang out.
Absolutely. We don't have one this year. We actually just finished our tour with the Dave and Busters. Last weekend, we ended up having some fun with Willie Scott, who is a former tight end at South Carolina, who's also on our nomination list for the class of 2019, as well as John Abraham, who was a class of 2018 inductee in April. Come hang out with us, two former Gamecocks, and had a good time out there. But, yeah, absolutely. We try and get out there as much as we can. We try and do as many special events as we can do whatever, try and help out this community one way or another. But really, the best way that you guys can get involved is to come and become a member of the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. There are free version. There is a free version that gives you a vote and also a discount on tickets to our annual events. But there's also paid versions as well that can give you some extra swag and also some higher discounts on those tickets. But we wanted to get you involved with us so that way we can make a better impact on this community. And we have a lot of big things coming up over the next year or two that I think the Upstate is going to be happy about.
Matt, can you believe my parents in their early 80s are members of the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame?
Is that true?
Both of them
there
are
you go.
Members.
There
so,
you go.
What happened to you?
Well, he's a media
so, listen, I can't do anything right now. No doubt about it. So, all right. Do you have a moment when we come back?
Yeah,
we can talk
can
about.
Stay.
First of all, we'll throw Michigan and Jim Harbaugh under the bus because I did a really bad thing, and I admitted it this week. or I admitted it to you, I fell asleep about 6:30 Saturday night. Remember, we were on the air at 7 a.m., and I missed the Alabama-LSU game.
Oh,
but that's because, you know, I'm not a morning person. You quitting on your Michigan Wolverines after the first game of the year, that's absolute sacrilege. We'll get into that at 844-GSP-ESPN. You can give a call, talk to Michael Foster, find out how to join the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. We'll also let you know about the induction ceremony and a whole lot more. But we're going to talk college football and pro football on the way out. So we're joined by Michael Foster, South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. Follow them online on Twitter, SCFootballHOF or SCFootballHOF.org for the website. And, of course, go join, and we'll tell you more about that. But, guys, it's Pittsburgh and Carolina tonight. What do you think? How long does it take Antonio Brown to go from 0 to 100?
Against this Panthers defense, their pass defense is 19th ranked in the NFL. I don't think it'll take very long at all.
I mean, dudes out there this morning, not last night, it was this morning, doing 100 miles an hour and gets ticketed and I guess charged. And we just saw him walking in, strutting into Heinz Field.
Got a fur coat on.
Yeah.
maybe a good fine would. Would help there, like a $10 million fine. Something that would hurt, you know?
All right, so you make your way down here from Michigan, okay?
Yes, sir.
You literally told me before we started a little bit ago, you were ready to give up on Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. Now, that probably had a little bit to listening to this show over the last couple of years because we have taken some shots at Jim Harbaugh back in the day. But
I guess I can blame you then,
yeah.
Right?
But what we do is that's what we do. We right. overreact after the first game of the season. Michigan sucks. They're terrible, blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, if you didn't know, just go ahead and cancel the college basketball season. Duke's going 35-0.
That's right. And 0. That's right. Absolutely. And we might as well have the NBA draft, too, so that way Williamson can go number one.
So my
point, what's worse, though, Sturge, is it worse to give up on your team after a bad performance in week one, or is it worse to do what you did
now,
and fall asleep and completely miss what is the biggest game of the year so far?
You're the one that controls the suck button back there today. What do you think it is? Because, you know, I didn't give up on my team. I gave my all for my job, which caused me to wear down by about 6:30 at night. The other thing is, and Teresa, there are now new rules in our house. If you see me sneak away at 6:30 on a Saturday night and before she had her last battle with breast cancer, we went out and bought a bed that, you know, that raises up and down and it vibrates. You hear that thing hit the vibrate button back there, and you can hear it in the day. Come get me up because you know I'm going to sleep.
Puts you in a coma.
That's the greatest invention of all time.
I can. You know what else is great? Having Tua Tagovailoa, so you can take these naps and not have
That's
to worry
right.
about your team losing to LSU.
Man, he's a good player, man. I got to give him a lot of credit for how young he is.
I'm glad he finally threw an interception.
I know. I was glad to at least get that take that away from y'all.
Can't make a field goal, but you picked him off at the 3-yard line.
Hey, y'all can't make – y'all missed, what, two extra points?
That could be the Achilles heel of this Alabama
It's always
team
the Achilles
also.
Heel, yep. It seems like, for you guys.
Well, so, they have to play someone that can get anywhere near close to them in order for that to be an issue. But, you
but
know, maybe
thing.
That
How
happens
did...
with Clemson or somewhere.
I think your Michigan
playoff.
Team's got a decent
yeah.
shot.
Shea Patterson is playing really well on offense.
He's coming into his own.
I like what his dad said yesterday, not even thinking about what's going to happen next year. Is he going to move on to the NFL or not? And here's the deal. I like the physical side of the Michigan defense right now, and it is an absolute mess in Columbus. I mean,
it is.
You get beat down 49-20 at Purdue. You come home, and I'm sorry. Diesel got on me, so you can't do this,
okay.
All right? What in the world was The Ohio State University wearing on Saturday at home versus Nebraska? Tell me it's about the kids and it's the recruiting and this and that. Black helmets, black jerseys, black pants. Oh, well, it's about the recruiting and the kids. I will maintain, if that's what it takes to get a kid to sign with your university, it might not be a kid that you want in the first place.
That's right. How about you go out and win, play
yeah.
well, represent your university. Well,
so right now, I think Michigan. I mean, listen, I thought Harbaugh, first of all, we asked the question leading into the year. He's quiet. Is he nervous? Is the hot seat on? Or does he have more than we think he does? And I think B was the correct choice.
Well, after the Notre Dame game, you kept hearing from their camp, well, there's still a lot of stuff that we're not even doing. We don't even have the whole playbook. We're not playing with the whole playbook. There's a lot more we can do with Shea. There's a lot more we can do with the running game. There's a lot more we can do on defense. We just haven't done it yet. And you've seen a progression on both fronts since then. And you can see the game plans are similar, but that Notre Dame game was so vanilla. That first game with Shea Patterson, they didn't allow him to really do anything. And when they couldn't get the running game going, they didn't change anything. You saw those things change in the games after that, and you're seeing the results now of that. And now they're getting Rashawn Gary back. They get Tariq Black back. Those are going to be big time for a team that's already improving. You're getting two of your better players coming back as well. So it could be the best is yet to come here, but you still got to go to Columbus and take care of business.
Absolutely.
And so before that, there's really nothing I can say before that check cashes.
You got to get over that one.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll be dialed into play, not like they were for Nebraska. I'm talking about Ohio State. All right, real quickly, Michael, South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, the induction ceremony, what are the plans that we can start telling people about so they can get it planned out and make get their tickets and everything else? We challenge them to come pay, become a paying member, because as you mentioned, there is some swag and there is some benefits in which to do so.
Absolutely, and we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so everything that you give to us is tax deductible as well. So keep that in mind as we end the year here. If you're looking at donating to a local charity, we qualify as that, and we're helping kids. So we would love for you to help us out with that. And we have big plans coming up for the upstate. So if you could help us with that, that'd be great. Go to scfootballhof.org. Right now, our voting period goes until December 10th. That will end our Blanchard Rogers finalist voting. At that time, it will also end the first round of our class of 2019. And then we'll cut it down and we'll put out a finalist list for the class of 2019. That vote will last until about mid-January, about January 21st. We'll shut down the vote for that, and we'll make our first our class of 2019. And right now we're scheduled for April 23rd here at the Hilton Greenville. To be able to hold that event, that we'll be honoring our class of 2019, the Blanchard Rogers Trophy recipient and a Humanitarian of the Year award. We're doing things a little bit different this year. We do a golf tournament in the morning. We're going to actually do a golf tournament the following day.
Yeah.
That's going to be new. And instead of doing a VIP party the night before, we're actually doing an after party.
Good.
After the ceremony. So kind of condensing things a little bit, making it a little bit easier on ourselves. Before, we were doing four events in 24 hours.
I'd see you were like,
fun for me, to say the least. But we're looking forward to that. We think that this is going to be our seventh induction class. We're excited about what we're going to be doing. We're starting to ramp up maybe some hiring. We may have some interesting names coming down the line here in a little bit.
Yeah.
For the organization, names that you might recognize. It's a lot of fun, and we're excited about this Bridge Builder program that we're working with the South Carolina Department of Commerce and Jay Blankenship, the workforce advisor here in the upstate. We're going to be bringing some of our former athletes that we know that are on our list to come and talk with the kids, the high schoolers and the middle schoolers, and helping them figure out how to be successful at whatever their next step is.
Of course, SoCon football has always been so big here in the state of South Carolina, and we have reps from all three schools. Noah Dawkins, the linebacker from Lyman, with the Citadel, is one of the finalists for this award, not to mention Adrian Hope.
He's just a freshman, by the way, leads the team in sacks and tackles for loss, which is incredible.
Redshirt freshman from Ocala, Florida, Adrian Hope, the Bandit linebacker from Furman, and then also from Wofford, Andre Stoddard, a running back from right here in Greenville, South Carolina. Yep. So, again, a lot of different things on there. And, of course, the entire list – we've gone over, I think, it all can be found on your Twitter account, SC Football at SC Football HOF, and everything else. And go find out who you want. Go vote.
Absolutely.
Number one, we just made the case Tuesday. You can't complain if you don't go vote.
That's right.
You know what? Well, we're going to say the same thing. If you don't like the winner of the Blanchard Rogers Award and you didn't vote, then guess what? Don't complain about it.
We've had an influx of about 200 new members since we released this from family members and schools and stuff that have seen the guys on this list. So if you want your guy to get on here, don't miss an opportunity to get on. We've already have people from all over the state already getting involved in this vote. We want you to get involved, so and you can do that, and it doesn't cost anything to you.
All right, we need to go out to break. We'll come back. We'll finish up shop on this Thursday. We'll let you know about tomorrow. We can go ahead and tell you we will get a 30-minute break tomorrow on a Friday. We need it. 6:30, we will give way to Clemson Tiger basketball. But we'll tell you about what's up on the show tomorrow. Close up with Michael Foster with the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. And if you got a phone call, 844-GSP-ESPN. All right, welcome back in. Final segment on this Thursday edition. We'll be back in studio tomorrow. We'll give way at 6:30 to Clemson Tiger basketball. I can let you know we'll talk with our buddy Jordan Coons, the Director of Media Relations and Play-by-Play for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. They're up in a rough neck of the woods, Wheeling, West Virginia, this weekend to take on the Wheeling Nailers before they come back next week. We'll also talk with our buddy Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald-Journal. And, Michael, as you know, Eric, we're trying to figure out when the grin's going to go away from the Boston Red Sox winning the World Series 4-1 over the LA
Dodgers. He's living life right now with the Red Sox and the Patriots.
In the
Things
Patriots.
Are well.
All right, again, we're talking about earlier, how can Clemson and Alabama be doing this consistently for a fourth year? How can the Patriots continue to do this
19 years?
The Bill Belichick way. When you look up on the field the other night and they've got a former Tennessee wide receiver, Cordell Patterson, filling in at running back, and all they do is manage to win again. I'm telling you, there's good coaches and there's bad coaches and there are mediocre coaches. Dabo and Nick Saban are good coaches. Bill Belichick's a great coach in the NFL.
Absolutely. He has proven time and time again that he can fit anyone, anywhere, wherever he needs them. And that's what they look at. They look at guys that they can fit in their system and do one job. Do your one job well, and we will be good. That's all you have to do.
And so
if he gets people to buy in, these are the results you get.
I go back and I think, like, Teddy Bruschi back in the day, his job was to sack the quarterback. It was not to be a Dexter Lawrence and just clog space up on the defensive line. And that's all they asked him to do. And you're right. They figure out what you do well, and they put you in your comfort zone in which to do it.
That's right. Well, and Cordell's has always been a very quick, fast receiver, very good on returns. They've just kind of used his return skills and put him in a position to use it in a different place, and it's working out.
This is the 19th year with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady together. They have won. They've been to 8 Super Bowls. They've won 5. They look well on their way to at least another one in the next 2 years. The Philadelphia Eagles, really young, really talented team. They win the Super Bowl last year with their backup quarterback, and now they're 4-4 in their second year. You know, they can't even do it back-to-back years. New England's been doing this for almost 2 entire full decades.
And that's why I say, you know, if you look at the way that the NFL's set up with a salary cap, everybody should be 8-8. Just like in college football, everybody has 85 scholarships, quite frankly. Everybody should be 8-8, but that's not the reality. Why? Because some people are better at their job than others are. And they can dumb this thing down as much as they want to, but guess what? There's winners and losers every day in life, and it doesn't matter if it's the football field or the business arena.
That's right. Absolutely.
Speaking of business arena, the Business Connect program, big with the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. You know, you were saying one name not on this list.
Yeah.
Scared you a little bit.
Come on.
Trevor
Bring
Lawrence.
It. Bring it. Yep.
Yeah. But I even have a bigger problem than that.
What's that?
Why is Will Sweeney not on this list? He caught a touchdown pass last week against Louisville. That is now one more touchdown pass than his dad caught in his University of Alabama playing days.
There you go. You know, Trevor's had a great year. Yeah. He hasn't been a starter the whole year. That takes into effect. He's played well in the games that he has played in. But one of the questions that I asked myself and what we asked ourselves here there in the office was, is he even a top five player on Clemson?
That's a legitimate question.
Right now.
Right.
I'm not talking about what he's going to be. I'm talking about right now, currently in this year. And I don't know if you can say that he is. So how could he be a top three player on Clemson to be on this list?
Right.
If he's not even a top five player on his own team.
I would suspect that putting the list of 200 to watch was easier than whittling this thing down to 20.
Absolutely.
Because I maintain the most difficult paper I ever wrote in college. You want to give me a 10-page paper, man? I can put all the fluff in the world in there to make it 10 pages.
Absolutely.
We had a history class with a one-page paper. We had to use two resources, this, that, and the other. Dude, you were cutting ands, its, and these out to to fit that into one page. I would think that would be pretty similar to trying to whittle 200 down to 20.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we spend about over 20 hours a week just focus on scouting for this award throughout the year, about 20 hours a week plus, to try and make sure that we're not missing anything. But when you're looking at players from all across the country that has South Carolina ties from D2 all the way up, you're looking at some very, you know, small schools that it's hard to get information about. And then, you know, you have, you know, how are you comparing a D1 player to a D2 player?
Exactly. How do you guys make that differentiation between a guy who might be absolutely killing it at a 4-4 Furman team versus a guy who is a role player on a really good Clemson team?
Well, and that's one of the reasons why we don't even put designations on the list as far as D2 or whatever.
If you're a football player
and you're producing, no matter what level you're at and you're producing, then you've already made yourself a cut above the rest. And so you should get an opportunity to be honored, even if you're a FCS or a D2 school. Yeah, so Jamarcus Henderson may not, the defensive end from Newberry, may not be as good as Cleveland Farrell. But if you look at his stats compared to Cleveland Farrell, he's right there with them, no matter who he's playing. But one thing that's really cool about Jamarcus Henderson is that he's 5'10 and 230 pounds.
Shows you can do it different
and
ways.
He's a defensive end, and he's killing his level. And so you gotta give him credit for that. And it's the same thing with Darius Leonard last year. Had a great year, great career at SC State. They weren't very good, but you could tell that he was had a little bit more juice than everybody else he was playing. He probably should have been playing on the D1 level, but he wasn't. Now he's leading the NFL in tackles.
Well, listen, 7 years now, proud of what you and David Wyatt have been able to get done. SCFootballHOF.org. There's the website. It'll have all the membership information as well as all the event information as well. Next level job y'all have done over there. You've already made a big difference. All right,
we'll be
back here in studio tomorrow. We'll give way at 6:30 to Clemson basketball. We'll talk with Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald Journal, Jordan Coons from the Greenville Swamp Rap. In the meantime, Matt, shake off that LSU loss on Saturday night, and I'll see you on Saturday. We'll see the rest of you.